Today's scripture is from 1 Samuel 16, verses 10 through 13. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The people of Israel had always been different from the people who lived in all of the lands around them. They had very different rules that made them very different from the nations that surrounded them. They had rules that came from God, one God. That was really the main difference between them and the other nations around them. They only worshiped one God. Now, as the years went on, and as the people became settled in the land that the Lord had given them after he had used Moses to lead them out of slavery, they became unsettled with one particular difference that they had from the other people around them. They didn't like that everyone else had a king, and they did not. So, like petulant children who wanted what the other kids had, they asked the judge, who was in essence ruling them at the time, they asked the judge to ask God to give them a king. Now, that judge was Samuel, and he went to God. Now, God didn't approve of this request. He thought this was not a great idea, but as parents sometimes do, he let the children have what they asked for, even though he was pretty sure that wasn't going to be what was best for them. And he had Samuel anoint Saul to be their king. Now, Saul led the people of Israel for 40 years or more, but it wasn't always smooth sailing with Saul. Saul, for one thing, was not always obedient to God. He did not always do what God said that he should do. And for that reason, God decided that Saul would not be the beginning of a dynasty. Saul's son would not sit on the throne after Saul did. And God was going to choose another king to rule after Saul. So God looked up that prophet Samuel again, and he told him, "You have another king to anoint before your time in service to me is done." Now, Samuel pouted a little bit about this. He didn't really like the idea of another man being anointed to be king when there was seemingly a perfectly good God-chosen king already on the throne. But God told Samuel, "Get over it and get to Bethlehem." So Samuel arrives in town, and he was kind of a big deal. Samuel had been the judge of Israel. He was a prophet. He had anointed the king. He spoke with God. And when Samuel arrives in town, it shakes up that little town. They aren't really sure, this little town of Bethlehem, if you know what I mean. They are not really sure if they want Samuel in town and that sort of attention. So Samuel gives them all the cover story that God had given him, because he kind of knew this was going to happen. And so he tells them, "Look, nothing to worry about. I'm just in town to offer a little sacrifice. I'd like to get together with Jesse and his family. We're just going to worship." So Jesse and his whole family are gathered up, and they are blessed and made ready to participate in this special service. And Samuel asks Jesse to introduce him to his family. That is, after all, what Samuel was there for. He was going to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. Samuel's kind of ready to get to it. He wants to get in and get out before King Saul finds out what he's up to. So Jesse starts to introduce his boys to Samuel, and God tells him every time, seven times he tells him, this is not the one. And Samuel is probably getting pretty anxious by this point, and he turns to Jesse and he says, you got any more? And Jesse says, just David. Just David, he's out in the field with the sheep. They hadn't even thought to invite him. How about that? They had not even thought to invite him to come in that day. So now everyone was going to have to wait for someone to go get David and bring him back. And sure enough, when David walked in, Samuel was given the thumbs up from God. This is the one. Anoint him. Anointed with oil and the Spirit of God, the stage was now set for this young shepherd boy to become the next king of Israel. Now, it would be several years before David would actually sit on that throne. He would end up, as a matter of fact, he would end up working for Saul. He would be his armor bearer. Saul had no idea that he was chosen to succeed him as king. But see, David became pretty well known in the nation of Israel. He was very charismatic. He was a talented musician and poet, and he was a brave and mighty warrior. And he became very popular, and Saul became very angry about this. Saul, in fact, tried to kill David several times. So it was not an easy road to the throne. And as a matter of fact, David's life on the whole was not all that easy. But David was chosen, and he was anointed, and he was filled with the Spirit. This young man, David, the youngest son of Jesse, the one forgotten in the field that day when the prophet Samuel came to see the family, was the root of Jesse from whom blessed generations would spring, including our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose father Joseph was a descendant of David's. So what made this one, this youngest son, the chosen one? I mean, that day Jesse had introduced his oldest son to Samuel first, and Samuel looked at him, Eliab, and he said, this is a fine young man. He looks like perfect king material. And God said, Samuel, you're looking through human eyes. You are using a human mind to assess. But I am looking at the heart. This is not the one. And then God passed over. He rejected six more sons of Jesse before landing on this one. I imagine a very grubby and smelly young man who had just come in from the fields with the sheep. Ruddy and handsome, maybe, but the youngest of a big family. One who had been, again, left to watch the sheep alone while everyone else was invited to a special worship service with the big muckety-muck who was in town. David was handsome. He was brave. He was talented. He was well-spoken. But none of that mattered to God when he chose him. And you can look through the Bible and you can see how God chooses people. God chose Jacob. Now, this was another younger son in a family, but man, what a sneaky one he was. He had tricked his own brother out of his birthright and his father's blessing. But he was chosen by God to be the one whom the name of God, you know, the chosen people would come from Jacob. Moses stood before the burning bush, God talking to him, and said, "I am not a good speaker." But he was chosen to go to a world leader and ask him to let his people go. And then to lead those stubborn, stiff-necked people in the desert for years. Fishermen and tax collectors chosen to follow Jesus and to lead the church. Sinners and self-professed saints chosen by grace for salvation through Jesus Christ. Jenny Allen is this author of wonderful Bible studies, and she said in a study that I recently finished on Wednesday night, she said that everyone can look at a painting and they can say what it is, what it represents, what it means to them. Everyone can look at a piece of art and say what it means to them, but only the artist can say what it actually is. Only the artist knows what it actually is and can say that. David, Jacob, Moses, the disciples, and you and me. Only God, our Maker, can look at us and say who we really are. And what He says is that we are His. We are lots and lots of things. We are lots of things that other people try to say that we are. We are lots of things that we tell ourselves that we are. But what really matters is what the artist who made us says that we are. And he says that we are chosen. David was chosen. David was anointed. David was filled and equipped for what God called him out of the pasture for. And God used every experience that David had had and every gift that he had given him to pursue that calling. And David pursued God. David pursued God with that heart that God saw within him that day, this poet, this warrior. David had a heart for God because David recognized the grace that God had bestowed upon him. And he knew that grace before that day when he stood before Samuel and ended up anointed king. And we know that grace too. Sometimes we forget it. We are chosen. We are anointed. We are filled and equipped for what God is calling us to do as a church and as individuals. David's heart for God did not keep him perfect and without sin. It just didn't. David's heart for God did not keep him insulated from tragedies and tears that he would cry over his lifetime. But it did mean that no matter what, David knew who he was and he knew who really mattered. And who really mattered was the God who had chosen him. The same God that chooses each one of us. Let us, the people chosen by God, saved by Christ, and filled with His Holy Spirit, pursue God with a heart like David's today and every day. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we look throughout your word and we find stories of men and women like David, human and mortal and flawed. And in them, we can see ourselves. Help us to see that it is more than just our flaws that make us similar to these great men and women. It is our chosenness. It is the fact that we too are anointed and that you have so freely given your Holy Spirit to us. We are called to do your work. We are called to show your glory in this world. Thank you so much, Lord, for choosing us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.